What was that strange substance falling from the air? Wow, could it have been rain? Yes, for about 10 minutes up at our place in the central foothills. But I know John, who's engineering and producing the show, he was saying, coming from his area of town, the rain was so thick, he could not even see about a foot in front of him. But so depends on where you were. It is Buckmaster. Hello, everybody. It's Tuesday, March 29th, 2022. We are in our 12th year on the radio, 34th year now with television and radio in Tucson. The Buckmaster Show, we broadcast from our Green Things Zocalo Village studio. The radio station is 1030, Tucson's voice for trusted news talk, worldwide live listening on my website, which is buckmastershow.com. We have 11 years worth of programs archived there. Pretty darn extensive archive. Our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Let's go now on the live line. Dr. John Galgiani, the director of the Valley Fever Center for Excellence at the University of Arizona. Always a pleasure to welcome Dr. Galgiani back to the program. How are you, sir?
I'm good, Bill. How are you?
Doing well. Thanks for asking. What is this I'm hearing about a new program now that will be uniting Arizona's three universities in the fight against Valley Fever?
Right. Well, about a year ago, the Arizona Board of Regents proposed to the state legislature this concept of a new economy initiative. And the idea was if funds were made available to the three universities, that they would improve the competitiveness of the state's economy to attract new business. And the legislature liked that idea and funded it. And as part of the results of that, the University of Arizona College of Medicine here in Tucson included a program to manage Valley Fever, because doing that proactively is a much better idea and better for business than pretending it doesn't exist at all. As you know, Bill, two-thirds of all Valley Fever infections in the country come from Arizona. And so we should be the ones leading the charge as to doing something about it. And as part of that program, we've created the Valley Fever Collaborative, which is start, which the Valley Fever Center here at the University of Arizona initiated. But it's really going to be a collaboration between the three universities. It's to get buy-in from all three schools, not just from the U of A, but also from ASU and NAU, so that their faculty can all work together to improve what we do and what we control with this very important public health problem.
Valley fever is a respiratory illness caused by a fungus. It can be mild or even deadly. As you mentioned, what is it, two-thirds of all the Valley Fever infections in the United States occur in Arizona. How are we doing in that area of getting general practitioners to, when someone presents with what might be Valley Fever symptoms, how are we getting them to say, well, you know, you might have Valley Fever?
Right. Well, that is a problem.
Yeah.
Many of the general practitioners actually trained in other parts of the country where Valley Fever is a rare disease, and then they come here and don't really have the skills already as spinal reflexes as to knowing what to do. But actually, within Banner Health, we launched a program to change that, and I actually am going to a meeting next week where we're going to discuss some really nice changes we've seen in the Banner urgent care system, where they used to, in 2018, 2019, really not diagnose more than a very small fraction, maybe 5% of all possible cases of infection. But we've gotten that up four or five fold. So now that 50% of patients who should be tested are being tested. So we're seeing a lot of improvement there, and we're hoping that showing off that change in the urgent care program will then spread out to the rest of the system and maybe to the state as a whole.
When people say Valley Fever, well, what would the symptoms typically be of somebody that would present with Valley Fever that could be confused with something else, Dr. Galgiani?
Well, as you said, you inhale spores, so that is the way you get infected. And not surprisingly, you develop chest pain, cough, fever, weight loss, and symptoms of pneumonia. And especially if your doctor says, guess what, you just have come down with a case of pneumonia here in Arizona, the chances is one out of three that that pneumonia is caused by valley fever. So if that is how the conversation goes in your doctor's office, you should ask the doctor, don't you think I should be tested for valley fever? But the other symptoms that are often very common are profound fatigue, being totally wiped out, often for weeks to months. Also, rashes and aches and pains in the ankles, knees, and other joints are very common, so that desert rheumatism is a synonym for valley fever.
How about the test for valley fever? Is it a complicated test, or is it just a simple blood test, Dr. Galgiani?
No, it's a simple blood test, and it's available pretty much anywhere in the state. It's sent to reference labs, and the problem with that is that the turnaround time from when the test is done to when the result comes back is at least 2 or 3 days in most places. And then some places, if you're in very rural parts of the state, it can be much, much longer. So it would be nice if we could have a point of care test, and we're working on that at the University of Arizona.
Now, I know that valley fever is a big issue in animals, in cane and dogs. There is is there now a vaccine? I know you've been there's been a lot of work on that.
You're asking all the right questions, Bill. Yes, we have a vaccine that's actually in development. It was discovered at the University of Arizona, and it's pretty much on its way for getting into veterinary offices to protect dogs from valley fever, hopefully by 2023. And that vaccine actually has every reason to be believed could also be developed for humans. The biggest problem with that jump from going from a veterinary vaccine to a human vaccine is the simple business of how much difference it is in cost. The valley fever dog vaccine is probably going to be fully funded at around $15 million, and I think we're on track for that. But if you try to get a vaccine developed for humans, it's much more like 10 times that amount. So that the cost of that will probably be the main bottleneck to getting going with human trials.
If you have been in Arizona for a long time, do you need to be concerned with valley fever?
Less so. The chances of getting valley fever year to year here in southern Arizona is about 1 in 30 every year. So if you've lived here 12 years, the state data is that about half as likely to have had valley fever already by 12 years. But it's a stochastic thing. That means that you can't ever be 100% likely to have had valley fever. And I've had patients in their 70s who lived in Tucson their entire life who came down with their original infection. So the longer you live here, the less likely you are to have not had it, but it can be quite many years before you actually get infected.
Do you think you've had it?
I have. I actually was one of the asymptomatic patients, and we discovered it because of I work in a laboratory where we were doing skin testing to look for whether infection had occurred.
And was this a particularly bad year for valley fever? We did have very robust summer rains last year. Did that impact the number of cases?
Yeah, I think it pushed it down in the fall because of the rains. And right now, the early reports, I actually just before this program looked up the current state data, and it's relatively low compared to past years. And that would be typical of the rains season last summer. But also predicted from a model of how rain affects case rates, we would expect that this rate will go up probably in the late summer and early fall of this coming year. So it could be that we're going to see a lot more later this year.
All right, Dr. Galgiani, congratulations on this new initiative. The economic impact of the state of Arizona in 2019 was over $700 million, so there is a big financial bonus here with this initiative. Thank you very much for joining us, Dr. Galgiani.
And nice to talk to you, Bill. Thanks so much.
Dr. John Galgiani, director of the Valley Fever Center for Excellence at the University of Arizona. Well, I have a center for excellence for you. It's up at Mona's Danish Bakery. It is a center of excellence for outstanding pastries, including the Danish Kringle, of course, because Mona's is home of the Danish Kringle. But I would be remiss if I didn't talk about what I really like right now. I'm into the bear claws. Oh my goodness, they're so good with that almond paste, and the pastry is nice and light and flaky. They're open right now for lunch. Northeast Corner Swan and Sunrise, open for breakfast Tuesday through Sunday at 6:30 a.m. Their website, monasdanishbakery.com. Check out Mona's, find out what all the excitement is about, and you will not be disappointed. All right, Shelley Fishman is with me, our financial consultant, giving me a 2 thumbs up. It's always good to see that. That means the markets are behaving the way we like on a Tuesday. By the way, coming up at about 12:30 today, a newsmaker interview with Rahina Romero, the mayor of the city of Tucson, and some very exciting news coming out of Tucson Airport, a big announcement today. We'll be right back. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. To prepare for ongoing project delivery, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to select projects for a new draft plan. The committee will help identify which projects to invest in to best meet regional transportation needs. Learn more about plan development and provide early input at rtanext.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson. Tucson International Airport.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than 2 decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
This is Kate Delaney. Tune in later tonight as we talk about everything that happened throughout your day. Tonight at 10 on 1030 KVOI, The Voice.
Shelley Fishman is a financial consultant in private practice in Tucson, Arizona. The views expressed during this segment are his own and don't necessarily represent those of this station or of Bill Buckmaster Communications. Contact Shelley through buckmastershow.com or at shelleyfishman.com.
And I'm going to contact him right now because he's in studio with me, Shelley Fishman. Shelley, how's your week going? Did you get some rain coming over here?
We got a little bit coming over here. I expect some more. I hope so.
We certainly need it. Well, we've got tax season coming up. We're going to give our listeners a little bit of a tax advice tomorrow on the show. You don't talk a lot about tax advice, do you?
You know, it's not. It was not in my job description.
Your wheelhouse.
To give tax advice. However, there is one thing that has been coming up in several places I've seen over the past week, and so I think I ought to mention it. And the question that comes up is, how long do I have to save my tax records for?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've got this drawer full of folders, goes on for 35 years.
And we've got them, too, I don't know how many years back we've got them. But
so the normal answer you get is 3 years, because
I would have thought longer.
Well, and you would have thought correctly.
Okay.
Because any inadvertent mistake that you make or minor mistake that you make in your taxes, the IRS can come back and question you for 3 years. And if you did make a mistake, you know, they can bill you and you'll have to pay it. However, if it's a major mistake or if it's the kind of thing you should have known you shouldn't have done, they can go 6 years. So my advice to all my clients is and was, save your stuff for 6 years and then go to the shredder.
Mm-hmm. That would be 6 years back.
Back, six years back.
Not talking about the current tax year.
Right,
so
six years back. And understand that if they're going back that year, you might have more than financial liability. You could have criminal liability.
Mm. How are we doing in the market today?
Market's great today. It's up, good. You know, 300 points. It was up yesterday. So I'm going to go out on a limb
okay.
a little bit today because I think I need, it's the end of the quarter.
Yes.
And I need to update the forecasts that we did back, you know, in January.
Pre-war forecast,
I might add. Pre-war. Mm-hmm. So here's where we are. The Dow is year-to-date for the quarter down 4%.
Mm.
That's all.
Well, we have recovered some ground because it was in the double-digit area a couple of weeks ago.
So we've recovered a bunch of ground. So my prediction for the year is going to be down from the 12% that I had originally said, and I think we'll wind up about 8% for the year on the Dow.
Up 8?
Up 8. So, you know, that's got 12 to go.
Mm-hmm.
The S&P 500 is also down 4%, and I'm thinking that's going to end up about 6% for the year. And I'll explain why the difference in the Dow and the S&P in a moment. The NASDAQ is down 8.5% for the year, and I'm thinking that's going to go all the way up to 10%. For the year. And the total bond market, and I use an ETF when I take a look at the total bond market, and it's called BND. That's its symbol. It's down about 6% for the year, and I think it's going to wind up flat. So I think it's going to climb back about 6% for the year.
You're optimistic about the tech-heavy NASDAQ.
Well, I am because it is much more flexible. The companies in the NASDAQ are more flexible about how and where they do business and how and where they invest their funds. One of the problems with the Dow and the S&P is we cannot ignore the fact that this war has created tremendous repercussions for the Russian economy and for lots of companies who did or do business in Russia. They have pulled out or at least put on hold all of their business. Now that's, you know, you're taking 143 million people out of their market.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to have an effect on their ability to earn money during the time those businesses are essentially shut down in Russia. And I think that's going to go on for some period of time. I mean, there are things, even if this war would end in the next couple of weeks, there's a whole bunch of reparations that need to be paid. I mean, a lot of Ukraine has been destroyed. And yes, we need a Marshall Plan, but Russia is going to be liable for some of that. And my guess is that we wouldn't lift restrictions on doing business in Russia until they own up to some of that. So that is the reason that I have lowered my forecasts for the rest of the year for the Dow and the S&P 500. There will be some impact worldwide. Also, the war has caused inflation to go even higher than it would have normally as a result of this pandemic. So all of those things say, you know, our economy is in really good shape. The European economy is in not as good shape, but it's still in pretty good shape. I think that, you know, inflation is the big thorn in the side, if you will, and we've got to work on that one a little bit harder. But in general, I think the markets are being very optimistic about where we can go now that this war appears to be winding down. Different story.
Shelley Fishman, is there a place for time-managed funds in the portfolios?
Great question. Bill, you know, time-managed funds are those funds that have a year after them. So it's the such-and-such bank's 2035 fund or 2040 fund. And those dates are the dates that they assume the owner of the fund will be fully retired, and that's when the fund becomes its most conservative. On the way from today to that date, the fund is very actively managed and made more conservative over time as the fund inches toward that end date. Now, why would you want a fund like that? Because you don't have to manage it. Because you can have those managers manage that fund to make you more conservative, in other words, less exposed to stocks over time, and you don't have to worry about it every day. Now, that's the good news. The bad news is that because the managers are managing so actively, they're creating some churn in what they hold. And that churn can very often result in some surprises. First of all, these funds are fairly expensive. You know, most mutual funds, they charge you.
It's a nominal fee.
It's a small. Point and a half or, yeah. or
but
you
this,
know,
2%. This is a different story?
These can go up to 3%.
Okay.
Number one. Number two, they may be creating dividends that you didn't know you were going to be liable for. And they also may be creating capital gains that you didn't know at the end of the year you were going to be liable for. So my advice is these are really good funds to buy in your 401k or IRA. So in your retirement investments, that the stuff that is tax deferred, you don't care where the surprises are, because you don't have to pay for those surprises until you start using your retirement funds afterwards. And if they've done well, that's really all you care about. So do I think that there are gotchas in those funds that you should be aware of? I do. Therefore, I would never recommend buying into those funds in just a normal investment account. But if that investment account's a 401k or an IRA any variation on those kinds of tax-advantaged retirement investment accounts, then they make a lot of sense.
You said something, a word that caught my attention, churn, something being churned.
Yeah, so churn is kind of a generic term for buying and selling and buying and selling and buying and selling and buying and selling. And, you know, these firms that manage these kinds of funds have a tremendous amount of in investment research going on all the time. They have access to the very fastest speed trading that you can have in the market. They don't have to call their broker and place an order. You know, they're literally a laser light away from making trades, and they will very often create buy and sell orders in microseconds.
But that churn can cost you.
That churn can cost. It can cost in several ways. Number one, it has a cost just because trading has a little bit of a cost. But more importantly, they're doing it to make money, to make a couple of, you know, a couple of millipennies here and millipennies there and whatever. And it adds up over the course of a month or a quarter. And that can mean that you, if you own those funds, will get a statement at the end of the year for capital gains. You say, but I didn't sell anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the fund managers did. So that's why I never put those funds in taxable accounts. Mm-hmm. I always put them in tax preferred accounts.
All right. And so in summary, you're pretty optimistic about the rest of the year because we are closing out, hard to believe, but quarter number one is just about in the books.
Given the end of the war or a non-worsening of the war, then I think we're going to have a pretty decent year.
Yeah. Well, we'll hope so. Hope something comes out of these peace talks that are going on, and who knows if Russia means what they say about downgrading all of their activity around the Ukrainian capital.
There's some evidence that they're actually doing it, but of course the reasons they say they're doing it are not necessarily to be believed. They're probably doing it, so they have no choice.
All right, Shelley Fishman, always a pleasure. Thank you very much, Shelley. We will see you next week. We've got Rahina Romero, the City of Tucson Mayor. Coming up next, a big announcement out at the Tucson Airport. We'll get the very latest on that. Buckmaster takes a break at the midway point. Be right back.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade. Using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana. Plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
Are you searching for a sumptuous suite on the Italian Riviera, an exploration of the mighty Mississippi, or an indulgent spa in Cancun? Bon Voyage Travel will help you find exactly the vacation you're looking for anywhere in the world. With many cruises setting sail in over 1,100 hotels and resorts to choose from with our exclusive benefits, Bon Voyage Travel's experienced advisors are here to guide you every step of the way. Visit bvtravel.com or call 797-1110.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com. Discover your world inside Biosphere 2. Explore living, breathing scientific research. Using the new Biosphere 2 Experience app, you can now explore one of the wonders of the world's amazing 30-year history and future through never-before-seen videos and photos. Visit today at info@biosphere2.org.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studios. Oh boy, you could hear a collective sigh from all of my wonderful friends at Green Things today when we had this wonderful rain this morning. They didn't have to go out and do any watering, I'm sure, today on their beautiful 13-acre site at 3384 East River Road, and all the plants were doing a very collective, oh, that felt so good. We need that rain so badly here in Tucson. Green Things, 51st year. Boy, I trust Green Things, and I know you will too. We send so many of our listeners over there, and they always say, Bill, I loved the experience. I had so many questions about when to cut the roses, do this. Everybody at Green Things knows exactly what's going on with the garden. So check it out, greenthingsaz.com. All right, without further ado, we welcome to the program. It's been a while. We're glad to have her back. The mayor of the city of Tucson, Rahina Romero. Rahina, good to see you.
Thank you so much for having me, Bill. I'm really happy to be here on this gorgeous,
we had a little bit of a nice rain shower. You've just come from Tucson International Airport. They've been such a great friend to this program, and I am really excited, being an avid traveler, hearing this news that for the first time, Tucson will now have nonstop service to Canada. This is a big announcement.
Yes,
Rahina.
today marks another win.
Canadian cities, nonstop.
Today marks another win for our Tucson International Airport and the work that Danette Bewley and her team are doing there, the CEO of the Tucson International Airport. I mean, activity at the Tucson International Airport is taking off, no pun intended.
Yeah.
I'm so happy to have been there, to have welcomed five airports and the representatives of five airports.
Were they all there?
Today they were all there from Canada.
And I might quickly read them. Being a big fan of Canada, we've vacationed many times up there. It's Fort McMurray and Lethbridge in Alberta. I know Lethbridge for sure. I've gone through there on the way up to Calgary. It's not that far from Calgary. Prince George in beautiful British Columbia. Windsor, which is just across the Freedom Bridge from Detroit. So Windsor's in Ontario, they'll be able to fly nonstop into Tucson. And then the biggest market of the five is Edmonton International Airport. And I've done that flight up to Edmonton previously through Phoenix. I don't need to go through Phoenix anymore because there'll be nonstop service to Edmonton.
Incredible.
This is a huge win for
Tucson. It's a huge win for the city of Tucson and for Southern Arizona. And this announcement is just such great news, a partnership with Visit Tucson and the Tucson Airport Authority,
Flair, which is based up in Edmonton, and I guess they're really a comer up in the Canadian market. They're an independent, and they do kind of the ultra low cost carrier. Some of these fares just look incredible.
$99 each way. I mean,
$99,
they opened up today.
That's 99 Canadian. If you subtract because of the favorable for the U.S. dollar, you're talking about $80. So that's a good deal. And all of this will start at the end of November, which will be the prime season for Canadians who love to come here
in the
winter.
Yeah. Well, you know, let me tell you why it's such an important announcement and such an important investment for Flair to be at the Tucson International Airport and to have direct flights there. One-third of the direct foreign investment here in Tucson. So companies that are foreign that invest in mm-hmm. Tucson are Canadian companies.
Really? I did not know that.
Yes. And so Canadian companies highly, highly invest in Tucson. And you know why it is? Because geographically, the city of Tucson is 45 minutes away from our biggest trading partner, which is Mexico. Yeah. And so it is not just good for tourism, but it is also good for investors to come to Tucson mm-hmm. and look at how Tucson can become a bridge to North American trade. And mm-hmm. so economically speaking, it is incredible news for the city of Tucson.
Well, I think it's, you know, I didn't get off the bus yesterday, either did you, in this mm-hmm. town. I think it's one of the biggest economic announcements in many years here.
Yes.
I really
yes.
do.
And it is a wonderful partnership with Visit Tucson, Tucson Airport Authority,
yeah,
and the city of Tucson.
Yeah, this was kind of an innovative deal that the five Canadian cities that I had mentioned teamed up with Flair Airlines and Visit Tucson and Tucson International.
Yes.
So it was like this big partnership.
It's a huge partnership. Felipe Garcia, who's the new president of Visit Tucson, really thinks about, you know, not just tourism, but economic development outside the box.
I like that. I'm glad they appointed him and made that as an inside hire.
Me too. And Felipe has been such a key to Mexican company investment in Mexican tourism in Southern Arizona and in Tucson. And Mexican tourism leaves about $1 billion here in Southern Arizona. And so it's just connecting all the dots and making it happen. Now with these direct flights, you know, tourism breeds economic development. So a lot of the tourists coming from Canada that have high amounts of disposable income will be able to take a look and get to know Tucson and Southern Arizona. And that's how we will see much more direct investment and building companies.
Yeah, I think this is a big win. And again, it's Flair Airlines. They're a real comer up in Canada. They're a low-cost carrier. All of that will start for Tucson, really, for our prime season, which will be next November. So we'll have a lot of Canadian visitors that will be sampling Tucson, and that will bring a lot of money, tourism dollars, into Tucson. Okay, Regina Romero, what are we going to do about some of our roads here in town? I was sharing with you, I was over by Himmel Park. I love to walk at Himmel Park. Kind of goes back to my days when I first visited Tucson and at the University of Arizona coming out here from Chicago. That was always my favorite park. And even though I live in the central foothills, whenever I'm in the central part of town, Sam Hughes, I love to walk in Himmel Park
yes.
and just hang out. But the roads around Himmel Park, I can't believe it.
Well, we have a good solution.
Jeez.
Yes. Well, one thing that Tucsonans of all political stripes can agree on is that we need to fix our roads.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the reason that I really pushed heavily
for this proposition,
Proposition 411. It's going to be a special election May 17th. It's an all vote by mail election, so voters in Tucson will receive their ballot around April 19th. And
really, in a couple of weeks.
And Proposition 411 has been was put on the ballot unanimously by my colleagues on the council and I. We have the opportunity to extend the half-cent sales tax that voters approved in 2017, extend it another 10 years with the possibility of fixing every neighborhood street in Tucson, Arizona.
Wait a minute. Did I hear you say every street?
Yes. And that includes different levels of investment, right? Because some of them have to be completely reconstructed. Others have to be maintained because we have, believe it or not, we have been investing in our residential roads and arterial roads.
But there would be money out of this, about $740 million, to give every road in Tucson some attention.
Yes, absolutely. And 80% of those funds, about $600 million, will go to give every residential road attention, whether it's being rebuilt or fog sealed or chip sealed. And then $140 million of those funds, which is 20%, is to build safety and accessibility for other modes of transportation, pedestrians and cyclists.
Yes, Bill,
too
that's good.
Many people are dying on our streets because there's a lack of safety. And so we need to build sidewalks and make sure that we're adding safety elements to our cyclists
the bicycle
and our bicycle
pass.
Lanes.
I mean, we had Councilman Dahl on the show last week. It's the first time we've had him on. I wanted to give him 3 months. Let him settle in a little bit, right? Since he's
learn
a new person.
Learn
but
the job.
I brought up to him, you know, we are talked about, we're a bicycle-friendly community, but it's gotten out of hand, these accidents, starting
yes.
with, I mean, the high-profile ones with Chuck Huckleberry
yes.
And on it goes. We've got to have some kind of barriers.
Absolutely.
And
it
costs money.
It costs money, and $140 million, 20% of it will go to safety elements, pedestrians, making sure that we have protected bike lanes. But some of that money will also go for hawk lights. Some of that money will go
to pedestrian lights.
Pedestrian lights, exactly. Some of them will go to some safety elements that we will build within neighborhoods. And then, of course, we also want to update our signalization so that we can move traffic and people easier across town.
Mm-hmm.
And so the investment will be incredible. I feel that Prop 411 is complementary to a possible RTA next. That's why we decided as mayor and council to have sent and focus on residential and connector street road repair. Besides the half cent, mayor and council have committed to add another $90 million of general fund allocations and highway user revenue funds to make sure that we're also paying attention to collector roads. Those are the roads like Tucson mm-hmm, Boulevard
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That
yeah.
you just mentioned
oh, yeah,
right
yeah.
now. Glen.
Glen,
Drexel
some roads
Road.
I just try to avoid.
Exactly.
I really do.
And
but
so,
I like what I just heard you say, that this is a complement to the RTA Next plan. So
yes.
Hopefully your plan is voters will approve this on May 17th, then the focus can become more on let's
regional.
Now get this RTA Next done.
Absolutely. That yeah. is absolutely our intention to do. And because we understand how important regional collaboration is, especially when it comes to infrastructure.
Player. You want to be a team player on
yes,
this.
Yes, and I think that we've gotten to a point where my work with other jurisdictions and other members of the board of the RTA are in a good place, and we want to move forward with the full intention of having a successful package so that we can present to Pima County residents and the residents of our jurisdictions.
Well, General Ted Maxwell will be very happy with your remarks. He'll be my guest tomorrow on the program because
you know,
he is the representative, and he's done a great job.
Great job.
He represents the Arizona Department of Transportation. He's the board representative from ADOT.
Uh-huh.
And
to
he's,
the RTA.
And he's really trying to bring everybody together. And
well,
he's
and
done
him
a great
and I
job.
Have been working since I first got elected precisely to make sure that we're getting ourselves in line and working collaboratively. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you, Southern Arizona Leadership Council is one of the contributors to Prop 411. TEP is, as well as Cox Communications, the auto dealers, as well as Living Streets Alliance and unions throughout.
Yeah,
so
Jim
it's
Click's,
a very...
Jim Click's been a big contributor, and he'll be a guest also tomorrow on
yes,
the program.
What a
philanthropist that man has been in this community.
It is
yeah,
incredible
so.
When we have all different stripes of political persuasions collaborate for Prop 411. Living Streets Alliance and unions and car dealers and businesses throughout our community are contributing to the Yes on 411 campaign because it is good for creating jobs and it's good for our economy and it's good for our neighborhoods.
All right, more with Rahina Romero after we take a brief break on the Buckmaster Show. Be right back. Stay with us.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the Doubletree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com.
Hello, I'm Danette Bewley, CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority. At Tucson International Airport, we're nonstop supporting jobs and prosperity as an economic engine for our entire region. From an innovative and touchless passenger experience to earning the GBAC Star Accreditation, the golden standard for cleanliness, our team is ready to welcome you back to Tucson International Airport. Begin your journey with us. We're nonstop for you, Southern Arizona.
A Citizens Advisory Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is starting to review projects submitted by RTA member jurisdictions for consideration for the next RTA plan. The committee will consider plan goals and performance factors as they move into the selection process. The RTA will seek public feedback on the committee's draft plan when it is ready. Learn more about plan goals and sign up to stay informed at rtanext.com.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary. Home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. We send so many of our listeners over to a beautiful area of the Southwest, and that's Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. I love New Mexico. I love Arizona, of course, first, but New Mexico has just so much to offer. It's only about a 3-hour drive from Tucson to a really beautiful area. You know, the Gila National Wilderness was America's first national wilderness. If you're looking for an outdoor activity and you want to get away, I would strongly suggest do some hiking in the Gila, then take the half-hour drive or so north of downtown Silver City and visit the world-famous Cliff Dwellings National Monument. Believe me, it would be an outstanding weekend. Start your planning by visiting Southwest New Mexico, spelled out, .org. All right, let's welcome back now for our final segment with Mayor Rahina Romero. You know, Mayor, I had not thought really about it until this news broke about Linda Ronstadt and making some naming a venue in her honor. This was long overdue.
Long overdue. And as mayor, I've had the distinct pleasure to be able to think about these things, right? And last year, I worked with KXEI. They were wonderful enough to invite me to interview Linda Ronstadt for her 75th birthday.
Oh, wow.
And I had the honor of interviewing her and talking about her time in Tucson and how much how much deep love she has for Tucson, what the Ronstadt family has meant to Tucson. And at that time, after that interview, I was so inspired by her that I said, you know, I've got to work with historians and historic preservationists to pitch the idea of naming something after Linda Ronstadt. Well, I had this, I don't know, sometimes you go to bed and then you wake up and you have like these bright and wonderful ideas.
Yeah, it's funny how that works. Sometimes
it really
at night
is.
You get the most, that's why I keep a pad of paper by
my desk. I woke up in the middle of the night thinking it has to be the Tucson Music Hall. And the Tucson Music Hall doesn't have a name, and it would be great for it to
be. And it's been renovated and looks good.
It has to be the Linda Ronstadt Music Hall. And in working with Lidia Otero and Betty Villegas and other historians around town, I pitched the idea. They loved the idea. They requested the name change, as well as Alba Torres Plaza at the TCC. And we're starting the process. People can give us their input to see if it's a good idea. All I have heard, this is a wonderful idea to be able to recognize that Linda Ronstadt is the beloved daughter of Tucson and that she has added so much to our community. Her and her family have added so much to the history, the culture, and the music of our city. And then, of course, you know, we want to do it during the Tucson International Mariachi Conference.
Yeah, it's coming up. 40th annual, I believe.
40th annual. Mm-hmm. It had left downtown Tucson for 10 years.
And now they're back.
We worked really hard with the Mariachi Conference Board. And, you know, I'll tell you, Rio Nuevo has been an incredible partner with both the renaming of the music hall to the Linda Ronstadt Music Hall and bringing back the Tucson International Mariachi Conference to downtown. Fletcher McCusker and every board member in the Rio Nuevo board has been an incredible partner in this effort.
So they'll rechristen the name during the festival,
yes,
do you think?
Yes. It's May 7th. We're going to do it before the Mariachi Espectacular. And we are hoping that she can join us working with Visit Tucson and Fletcher McCusker to make sure that we bring her here. She is so happy and so honored to be able to accept this from
she
me.
She should be. It's a great
and
honor.
From our city.
Yeah. I've only got about a minute left. When you took over office, you talked about planting trees, which I think is a great idea. Coming from an area along Lake Michigan, I came from a place that calls itself City of Trees. I love trees. How are we doing on that effort, planting trees?
We have had the great pleasure to institutionalize the Tucson Million Trees Initiative within the City of Tucson. We hired the first ever urban forestry manager.
Is that person on board?
She's on board. She's on board. She's going to give mayor and council an update April 5th, I believe our next meeting is. I have been working with Trees for Tucson and private partners to fund the effort. So I've fundraised $500,000, Tucson Electric Power, Mr. Car Wash, so many others have contributed to the $500,000 that we've fundraised to plant 1 million trees by 2030.
How much money do you need for 1 million trees?
I don't know. But we are at 60,000, and we are moving forward. We just had our last planting event on Saturday because it's a season from October to the end of March where we plant trees. But
yeah, you don't
it's
plant
been really
them
successful.
In the real hot season.
We don't. No. It's been very successful.
Because you never know if we're going to get much rain.
Exactly.
I hope we do. All right, Rahina Romero, I have to go, but thank you very much
thank
for the time.
Thank you for inviting me, Bill.
It
always goes so fast.
I know it does.
You got to invite me back so we
I
can
will.
Continue talking.
I will. Rahina Romero, thank you very much on behalf of the mayor. And John on the other side of the glass doing a great job as usual for the Buckmaster Show, engineering and producing. I am Bill Buckmaster. Hope you have a great afternoon.